The status of women and girls in our society, it's a topic of great concern for all of us. Michelle Gomez is going to be here to talk about Oasis Center for Women and Girls. Carlton Kilpatrick, Dr. Kevin Fenton, with me to talk about a new thing, Canopy Road Corral, Men's Corral. Great conversations up ahead. Nancy Dignon's got another My Weather View. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass. Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids. Call Merrymaids. Relax. And it's done. And by Chelsea Salon and Spa. Tallahassee's largest Aveda lifestyle spa and salon since 1979.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 70 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com. Friend, we're back together again on this fine occasion to have conversations with some of Tallahassee's best folks. Maybe not well known to you or to me, but they are right there in the trenches getting it done. May I draw for you a parallel, perhaps, when I think of our own Tallahassee-based Florida State University men's baseball and the legendary Leben, Mike Martin, having concluded this remarkable career this last Wednesday night. So over the last several days, and we will continue, no doubt, seeing number of videos and posts and tweets and all kinds of recognition, and it's just getting started, right? Deservedly, the guy gave 40 years of his life to this endeavor and has been wearing a FSU uniform all that time. So I won't try to match in any way the many good things that have already been said and well deserved they are about this man. But I think Coach Martin would be the very first person to say he's there because of all of the other folks, notably his wife Carol, who he will credit. You know, he has said this repeatedly, publicly. You know, I wouldn't be where I am were it not for her. And so anyway, I would point to our community, and maybe this is a sort of realized experience across communities here and around the world. When you have people who are making achievement that is kind of wherever you hang your hat, you're going to find people like Michelle Gomez, Carlton Kilpatrick, Nancy Dignon, Tim Linnefelt, Mark Baldina. These are some of our more recent conversations. Christina Paredes, Lee Davis. Some of these folks, you know, they're in the public eye, we'd say. Mayor John Daly, certainly. But some of them, I mean, a guy like Ryan Lapete. You know who Ryan Lapete is? Well, if you're a regular listener, you do, because he was here back, I don't know, about a month ago,
three, four weeks ago. Yeah, he's one of the owners there of the Deep Brewery, little microbrewery, another one, Deep Brewing Company, formally speaking. Yeah, doing what he loves to do, getting it done, but already having some impact even within the industry because of their unique approach to distribution. Not to rehash that conversation, but yeah, they've come up with a little bit different way of approaching the topic. And in doing so, they set for the rest of their colleagues in that industry a standard or a direction, a pattern, an example. How does change happen over time? I've been a student of that question my entire adult life. I had the opportunity to meet with a group of local business owners and managers earlier in the week, courtesy of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. WCTV sponsors this Lunch and Learn program. A good program it is, and consequently, a lot of very good folks have had the chance to share ideas and information with those in attendance. So I had the honor, I guess, and pleasure of being that presenter this last week, and what a fine group of people I had the opportunity to be with, talking about change, talking about how we change our minds individually, socially, and yes, culturally. How is it that change occurs sometimes in a very short period of time? Radical change can happen. Generally, we talk about that in terms of it being revolution, right? Revolutionary change is so extensive, so remarkable in its influence. It changes the manner in which we see ourselves. And from that, then the manner in which we live our lives, do whatever we do, business, medicine, think about it, all the various ways, and go back through the annals of history in our own country, just as an example, and look at those revolutions, the revolutionary changes that occurred. Sometimes it's because there's a significant number of people who take charge, who push that change forward. So you can think of the French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, the American Revolution. Sometimes it's not a number of people. It's not that there's a significant number of people. It's that there's a number of significant people, smaller group with greater influence individually. In our time, and I'm referring to this, let's say, last 10 years or so, in Tallahassee, we've had a number of significant people who have affected change. Right. How about Mark Mustian? He's the guy who served the city as a commissioner for a number of years and went on as an author, has published a couple of books, has continued to invest himself and his money in this community. There's something called the Mustian Center over there at the hospital. His father, prominent in the history of the hospital there as a physician. And here he comes individually to say, hey, let's do something, we'll call it Word of South. So now we have on record several years' worth of Word of South Festival. Where? At Cascades Park, which itself was the vision of a few significant people. So there's that. There's that kind of change that occurs when people who are prominent, will say more powerful, more influential, have greater resource, are able to affect that change. Then there's the other change that happens among a greater number of people, and it is a bit more processual, maybe a little bit more delayed, maybe a little bit more gradual. Sometimes it's glacial in its progress. But bit by bit, moment by moment, people like our guests today are affecting that change. And I think Michelle Gomez is exactly one of those people. You're going to get to know her a little bit better and the work she's doing with Oasis Center. She's with me in the second hour of the show. I've got Nancy Dignon here standing by with another My Weather View. And then we're going to hear from Carlton Kilpatrick and Dr. Kevin Fenton talk about this Canopy Road Men's Corral. You stay with me. We'll be right back. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We are here just for you. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Don't forget you can find us online, TallahasseeTalks.com. Email us if you can, because Carl just sits by his computer waiting, just drumming his little fingers, looking for someone to send him an email about the show. Come on, help him out a little bit here, poor little guy. Topics at TallahasseeTalks.com. Tell us what you like, what you don't. Tell us if you got an idea for the show, a guest you'd like us to consider. All of that, just because we love you so much. And to date, we recognize that there's tens of thousands of you out there listening in some way, shape, or form. Of course, because the site contains all of our broadcasts for you, permanent links they are, you can go at any time, and if you want to just do a search on, you know, Michelle Gomez, you can do that, or Tim Linnefelt, good old Tim up there in Omaha this whole week. And the guys, I don't think anybody could buy him a steak right now. He's had all the beef that he'd care to. Well, maybe not. You should ask Tim first. What do I know? Anyway, did a fantastic job. Seminoles.com should be very proud of the work Tim Linnefelt has turned in. During this week when our beloved Mike Martin has concluded this illustrious career of his. So way to go, Mike. Number 11. 11-11. Yeah. Doing us all proud. Tallahassee, you are shining. You're shining this morning. And we got another star for you, Nancy Dignon, standing by here with another My Weather View, giving her opportunity to bring you a little background on how weather is reported and studied. You know, she's an educator, broadcaster, weathercaster, meteorologist, right? So she's the real deal. You want to listen to Nancy. When she talks about weather, she's talking. And you and I need to listen. So she'll be with me here in just a minute. Speaking of weather, let's see, the weather forecast for today and tomorrow. Big shock. Hot. 93 degrees expected high. Lower overnight low is 74. Humid, yeah, about 40% chance of rain. Welcome to Tallahassee in the summertime, my friend. I mean, this is it, right? So, and sunset happens around 8:42 this evening. So, if you got late afternoon plans, you know, you could still find yourself out there on the water somewhere, but UV index pretty high, 9 out of 10. Same pretty much for Sunday, the 23rd, tomorrow. 20% chance of rain. Again, high of 95, low of 73. UV index extreme. Lots of sunscreen needed there. And being prepared for severe weather, that's a constant theme around here. For us, it's a year-round thing because being prepared isn't a season, right? It's an attitude. And though hurricane season is upon us now, severe weather happens all through the year. That's why we are pleased to report that you can find additional information at TallahasseePrepared.com. Brought to you by Plylox Hurricane Clips. What a great company they are. Neat little invention. Learn all about Plylox Hurricane Clips, Plylox.com. And be sure that you go to Tallahassee Prepared because you're going to find out, oh, let's see, that's right, humidity is at 83% or 98%. Hot, humid weather can be damaging to a lot of the things that you care about, your home particularly. Make sure that you are checking out TallahasseePrepared.com because not only will you help stay prepared for severe weather, okay, high heat and humidity, example, thunderstorms, yes, flash flooding, yes, you're also going to find resource because there's a number of professionals who have contributed their understanding, giving you that kind of advice that you need, which, again, is why we have Nancy Dignon here, and she is going to give you another My Weather View.
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignon, and this is My Weather View for this week. Well, hurricane season officially began June 1st, and while it's right now a little quiet, what should we do? Because we're in the season but nothing's out there, do we just dismiss it and kind of wait for something to develop before we start thinking about it? And of course, the answer is absolutely not. Well, what do we do now? Do we panic? Do we start freaking out? No, none of that. But what about if you just kind of look around? One of the things that we can all do, look outside, look at the trees, make sure everything kind of looks healthy. I've noticed I've got some neighbors with some limbs that are not healthy and dead because I see the brown leaves on them. And I'm kind of asking them if they'll trim it up because the potential is once winds start picking up, and this could be with a typical afternoon thunderstorm, some of those limbs are flying. I'd rather take them down early on my own or have them do it so that they don't go flying and they can't do damage. This is the time to be doing that kind of stuff. Look at the trees, see if there's something that you can trim up. If there's some dead ones, cut them down or have somebody come and cut them down for you. But make sure that outside everything looks pretty solid. Then, you know, have dinner with your family. Phones off, no devices. Have the conversation. What are we going to do if there's a hurricane and it's coming our way? What are we going to do if there's a hurricane that's a major hurricane and it's coming our way? Because your plan may be different depending on that intensity. If it's a weak hurricane, you live, you know, inland, let's say Tallahassee, Leon County, you feel safe, your house is secure, you might think about staying. If it's a major hurricane, and that might mean some really strong winds, and you get a little nervous, by all means, evacuate. You know, there's no harm in that. In fact, if you're going to do it, we would like for you to do it early. Make that plan. Sit at the table, talk about it. You don't have to get a hotel. Maybe you have some family or some friends. I've got friends, family in Atlanta. So I'm going to talk with my family. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, you know what? If this gets to be Category 3, I think that's the time that we go. What we're going to bring is everything that's important, some documents that are important, things that are irreplaceable perhaps. We'll go, and then after we get the all clear, we'll come back. A lot of people ask, you know, if you should always evacuate. No is really the answer. But if you get nervous, and we've had 3 years in a row with hurricanes that have impacted us, maybe you've got little kids that are nervous, by all means, go. Go if you can create a little mini vacation so, you know, it's a little more on the positive side as opposed to having to stay in your home, stressing out about it, starting to worry and be concerned with whether or not your house is going to survive it. It is far easier now to make the plan, have the plan, leave, and then come back and then have to deal with whatever we all will have to deal with. This is Nancy Dignan. That's been my weather view for this week.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For all of you music buffs, there's a new game in town, and we're excited to bring them to you in this portion of our very fine radio show. It's called Canopy Road Men's Corral. And because they want to protect their identities, they are known as CRMC. It's kind of a quasi-military thing, I think. We're going to find out all about it because we've got the two guys who you need to know. Carlton Kilpatrick. He is formidable in his talents, I will say. Having performed with Tallahassee Community Chorus, he's working on his doctorate in choral studies, I believe that's right. Music education and choral conducting. Man, he's done all kinds of neat stuff. He served as a high school choral director. I always get those two mixed up. I have to watch for the E at the end of the word there. Choral director, 15 years in Altamont Springs. High school. Well, that would account for a lot of his difficulties.
It accounts for a lot of lost hair.
I mean, high school, 15 years. I was in high school for like 4 years. That was in Lake City. He's gone on and done a number of great things. We're going to find out a little bit more about that. And then we have the well-known, highly celebrated Dr. Kevin Fenton. He is actually then at the helm of this here fine CRMC, the Canopy Road Men's Corral, under the able direction of Dr. Kevin Fenton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First-timer, eh?
Yeah, it is.
Long-time listener, first-time guest. Right. Carlton, you're an old radio hack, so
Absolutely.
Don't even bother to introduce
Absolutely.
You.
Thanks for having us again.
Oh, what a pleasure. So, we're going to get into why you guys and those of this organization decided to pull this together. Do we not have enough choral music in Tallahassee? Was that the problem?
There's never enough choral music in Tallahassee, Brian.
See, I'm that way about Florida State baseball. I mean, I want it to keep going. I'm in remorse today, so I mean, just telling you. And with your able talents, Dr. Fenton, were you invited, or was this part of your initiative? How did that come about?
There's a group in Jacksonville conducted by a friend of mine, and he brought that group to the American Choral Directors Association conference that took place in Florida this past.
Yeah, was that in Tampa?
It was in DeLand.
Okay.
And so they performed, it was at Stetson, and when they performed, they talked about, I think they're in 10 years in existence, and they talked about the fact that all of their concerts have been to serve local charities.
Neat.
Or to serve the local guy. And I really, I was impressed by...
That kind of clicked with you.
Yeah, right? I was impressed by their singing. I was also thought that it was great to see a group of men together, enjoying each other, singing together, and then singing together for a purpose that was outside of themselves. And that really resonated with me. So.
Canopy Road Men's Corral. Now, you've got a show coming up.
We do.
Sunday, June 30th, 3:30 at Trinity United Methodist Church. Tell us about that concert.
So the concert will, it'll be free and will allow people to donate to the Sheriff's Ranch, which... Carlton's going to talk a little bit more about, but
Nifty.
We're going to sing a number of songs that are are, you know, quintessential men's songs like Gentle Annie. We'll also do
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Well, no. We're going to do all of the.
I want military songs.
Well, we are. We're doing every military song there is in a medley, and that'll end with the.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah,
I'm totally there. Right,
and that ends with the national anthem.
Nifty.
And, that's been really touching for the guys.
Very cool. These guys you're talking about range in age from 18 to over 60 years old. That's a good swath. And their membership is volunteer. I mean, these guys do this for the love of it.
Yeah. So yeah. Wayne Bailey, he's the director of the River City Men's Chorus. Yeah. Uh-huh. And when we talked about it, I said, hey, I want to do this in Tallahassee. And he said, well, we sing for about an hour and a half, and then we go and we go out and we eat and we drink together.
Oh, oh,
and so that's
sweet.
Been something that we've done.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
And can I just show up after yes. for the eating and drinking part?
Yeah, that
do
sounds
good. Do I have to
good.
Actually sing and rehearse and all that? It's just too much work. Carlton, that's the thing that people don't often, I think, especially those outside of, let's say, music performance in general, but certainly choral work, the kind of time and devotion that it takes. And, you know, I grew up singing in choirs. I mean, I did. And all through my youth and into my adult years, and then sang with TC Chorus for a while. I wasn't able to continue. I wouldn't let myself continue because I wasn't able to give the kind of time that it really deserves. If you're gonna wear the uniform, man, you gotta be there, right? And that often escapes people. You know, they come to a performance and they just, it's just so wonderful, everything. Well, behind that is a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, mostly yours, right?
Absolutely.
You're the director.
Well, the unique thing about the Canopy Road Men's Chorale is that we're only kind of in existence for about a month, and we would hope that we're going to be continuing.
You're only month old.
We're only going to have about five rehearsals total. We're actually heading into our last week of rehearsal, and all the guys are volunteers. And we put out the word through the Tallahassee Community Chorus, the Civic Chorale, church choirs, Facebook, social media. And we've had a wonderful turnout of about 40 guys, all volunteers. And they showed up with some very impressive music reading skills. And we're putting this together very quickly, but it's been really exciting and a lot of fun.
So that was your first one. Show of hands, how many are really good at sight reading? Because we have like four more of these. Yeah, that in and of itself speaks highly of the folks who have come forward in this, because if you're doing this, right, you have a performance in your future.
Right.
And if you're not confident that you can pull this off, you might want to step aside.
Yeah, I would say that their experience is as varied as their ages. I think there's some people, I know that there's one gentleman who this is his first choir of his life.
Really?
And I just told him, hey, sit by this guy or this guy, because they've been singing for 20 years and they can do anything. And he's you're right. He said, you know, you're right. These guys can do it.
Nifty.
And once somebody hears music, a lot of people can just pick it up if they hear it once. And so... So everybody's been able to kind of stay up. You don't have to be an experienced great reading musician to be in the group. And we kind of want it to be an outlet for everybody. We want it to be both socially gratifying, musically gratifying, but we also want to contribute to our community together.
I mean, think about that. It's an opportunity for a bunch of guys to get together, do something they love. There's all that kind of male bonding thing going on. And then there's the food and the drinking. This is good. And then you take all of that you've done in preparation, all the planning, and you focus the outcome on the benefit of this charitable organization. And in this case, again, you said it is...
The Sheriff's Ranch.
Sheriff's Ranch.
The Florida Sheriff's Ranch.
That's really cool. So, folks, we've got just a couple minutes here. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk with these two fine gentlemen. I've got Carlton Kilpatrick, who is a veteran of this show. I mean, he's, you know, everybody knows Carlton. He's just amazing. And then Dr. Kevin Fenton, who is here with us to talk about Canopy Road Men's Chorale. Now, you may be saying, hey, that sounds like something I might want to be a part of. or maybe my brother, husband, nephew, son, you know, this is a men's chorale. So you think about the men in your circle of influence. Maybe you're that guy. Knowing these two guys, they'll probably just, you know, throw you a piece of sheet music and you're in. You know, that's kind of how this might roll. They're performing on June the 30th. It's at Trinity United Methodist Church. Start time is 3:30. And I assume that those in attendance at the concert will be making a contribution of some kind. Is that how that's going to work? Or are there tickets for sale?
It is going to be a free concert, and we will perform, and then we'll give people several options to donate to the Sheriff's Fund.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, folks. Stay with me. You're going to learn more about this great organization that has newly formed, another great example of the Tallahassee music community and what we bring to the world. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Dr. Kevin Fenton has taught and taught graduate and undergraduate courses in choral literature and choral conducting at Florida State University for the last 19 years. It began in 2000. He has a textbook, Foundations of Choral Conducting, which is used in beginning conducting classes throughout the country. He is a recipient of the Florida State University Teaching Award for Excellence, the Delta Omicron Music Professor of the Year Award. Now he's blushing. And the Wayne Hugaboom, we'll get that, Distinguished Florida Service Award. How do you say that?
Hugaboom.
Hugaboom.
Yeah.
I like that. Has a musical kind of rhythm to it, Hugaboom. Okay, never mind. Additionally, Dr. Fenton is the artistic director of the Festival Singers of Florida and a founder of the A Voice for Peace initiative. It's amazing. A man like Dr. Fenton can cram all of that into his career. And now we've got Carlton coming along doing the same kind of thing. Carlton Kilpatrick, if you don't know him, he's a rock star. Guy has contributed sizably. You taught high school, what'd you say, for 10 years?
I taught high school for a total of 15 years, 2 years in Lake City and 13 years in Altamont Springs down in the Orlando area.
So I'm making the assumption that for you, the welfare of young folks is pretty close to your heart.
Absolutely.
Part of your DNA. So then that leads me to think, in looking at this upcoming concert and its focus on providing charitably to the Florida Youth Ranch or the
Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch, yes.
Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch. There was that connection for you.
Absolutely.
Wanted to do something to help kids.
Well, Dr. Fenton brought this idea of bringing the Jacksonville model here to Tallahassee to a small group of choral directors, primarily music educators in public schools here in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And David Lajeunesse, our good friend, was kind enough to kind of head up the idea of finding a group we wanted to work with, and he brought us the Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
They have a wonderful impact on youth ages 3 to 20, not just here in North Florida, but throughout the state, though their primary property is in Live Oak, not too far from us here in Tallahassee. Yeah. And in fact, a group of our guys are going out there at the end of this coming week to meet some of the residents and the staff, and they're going to host them for an afternoon of kind of checking out the facility, which we're very excited about. Mm. But they do fabulous work offering not only residential housing and a place to live for at-risk youth with cottage families, but also summer camp opportunities. And again, all these participants are young people who are found to be at risk for whatever reason, and their local sheriff recommends them for participation in this program. And they've helped over 150,000 children and families in the state.
It's remarkable.
Really wonderful, and we're excited to partner with them.
Folks, you got to stop and think for a minute how proud you must be to be a Tallahassean. Because it's guys like this and the men who are part of this organization who are then representing us. And on behalf of Tallahassee, bring not only a wonderful opportunity for the members of this organization, and it's, again, for your sake, is the Canopy Roads. Wait a minute. Canopy Road Men's Corral, right? So they're having a blast. I can assure you. They're just doing what they love to do. But look at that next layer. So they're doing us proud and doing good for kids as part of this Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch program, which has its own history. You should feel good about being in Tallahassee this morning. And you should be very happy that you have guys like Carlton Kilpatrick and Dr. Kevin Fenton who are leading the charge on this. Don't talk about retirement, right?
Right.
It's way too soon to talk about that. But it's striking to me that a guy like you who has accomplished as much, has been in as many different roles as you have and are now, see this as another chapter, another thing that you get to participate in.
I agree. I tell people that I enter the world as a choral conductor, and
it was
and when what I know
in your DNA,
exactly what I know about literature about a lot of things comes to me through my choral experiences, but also my knowledge of like just the human condition is informed by the choral world, and so one of the things that I've been committed to in the last 10 years is finding ways to fulfill the needs of young men in particular. I noticed like about 10 years ago I started looking at the Tallahassee Democrat. And they had the pictures of all of the kids who were getting awards in high school during that graduation week. Mm-hmm. And I would count, and it would be, you know, about 65% women and 35% men. And I just, year after year, I noticed this, and I feel like we really have to do better for the young men in today's society, especially in education. And so that's one of the things that's been a need to me. And then I've been aware of the Tallahassee Boys Choir, but I haven't been able to really contribute there. And bringing men together, being able to talk about young men, trying to make us a proactive part.
So of for you, it's a sort of mentoring, I guess, right?
Yeah, and we do have probably 4 or 5 young men that are getting ready to go into college in the choir. And we have some retired people too. It's just, and I think that is great to see that this community that's created through choral music, no matter where these young men end up, wherever they go, they're going to be able to find a choir and a community. And I love that about choir.
I liked what you guys were saying in this, in the earlier segment of the show, and you talk about this guy who's never sung in a choir before.
Right.
I mean, did he have any musical background?
So
at
he's
all?
Been in music theater here, and he has, you know, friends in the music theater, and they're like, "Give this a try," and he's loved it. He's had a really good time.
So, that's my admonition to you, friend. As you are listening to us talk about this opportunity, perhaps it's right for you, and you certainly should do yourself the favor. Check this thing out. It is called Canopy Road Men's Corral, and they're performing on the 30th of June. That's a Sunday, 3:30, Trinity United Methodist Church. Carlton, you have a website. What is that?
Right now, we're primarily hosted on the COCA website, the Council of Cultural Arts in Tallahassee. Right. So check us out there. We're also on Facebook and can be found there by searching Canopy Road Men's Chorale.
Well, there you go.
And
well,
we plan to be in existence May and June. We plan to meet during May and June every year.
Okay.
So we wanted to not conflict with the other choirs. We have great choirs here in Tallahassee. And because we are specifically for men, we thought it'd be better to not overlap.
Folks, it's a great opportunity for us to see what these guys are doing. Canopy Road Men's Chorale. Our guest this morning, Dr. Kevin Fenton, and the ever-popular Carlton Kilpatrick, who remains in absentia otherwise, because he's a busy guy. But once in a while, we'll be able to corral him, no pun intended,
anytime.
Back into the studio. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Folks, that's what I have for you here at this point in the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to another hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Loving it. Loving what you all are doing. And I try to stay close to your conversations online. Some of you are avid tweeters and posters and such, and posting up videos and watch the newspaper for happenings, things going on. Get a lot of press releases. And I'm obliged to make sure that you know of some of this as it comes across my desk. Good folks at Leon County, always helpful there, in keeping us posted. And this one actually came in regard to the balanced budget for Leon County for the coming year. The proposed fiscal year 2020 budget of $274.3 million represents a minuscule increase, like 0.06 increase from last year's budget. And in so doing, they have balanced the county's tentative budget without raising the millage rate for the eighth year in a row. Well, okay. So in other words, not having to eliminate services sizably, they've eliminated certain fees at the Rural Waste Collection Center, which is nice. And this is a listing here of some of the other things they've done. No change in either the countywide millage rate of 8.3144 mills or the 0.05 EMS rate, with an increase in property values of 5.74% countywide. So what is that telling you? County property rates going up, that is the property values going up without them increasing the millage rate. They've implemented the first year of the multi-year fiscal plan to avoid tax and fee increases that currently total $4.6 million annually, and they've done so by aggressively paying down debt and reallocating homestead exemption reserves Eliminating the need for future tax and assessment increases. Okay, smart money management and management of resources. They've eliminated rural waste collection fees. I mentioned that. That saves you more, us as consumers, more than $200,000 annually. Funding completion of the 6090 ball field project at Daniel B. Cheris Park. So that's going on. Kristen Dozier's been keeping us up to date on some of that progress. It's a remarkable thing out there. If you're not an Easter side person, that is to say you live on the east side of town, you ought to take the drive out that way, take a look at this Cheris ballpark. Pretty nice. We had Lee Davis with us here, I guess, last week. And she heads up Leon County Parks and Recreation, and she talked about that and some of the other projects. So you got to say, county's doing a good job on that question. Then let's see here. Supporting the Leon County Sheriff's Office by funding the third year of a three-year staffing plan for enhanced law enforcement efforts in the community. It includes the addition of four deputies and three technical positions for real-time crime center and the property evidence supervisor. So good news there. They've added about $300,000 in additional tourism development tax funding to bring additional national performers and concerts to the Cascades Park Amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And they've established what they're calling Legacy Events Grant Program to help continue the success of these aforementioned long-standing festivals like Word of South and Chain of Parks Art Festival and Springtime and all these different things that they are part of in some way or another, particularly Visit Tallahassee, which is Leon County, kind of a partnership there between city and county. That's about enough of that, I suppose, in terms of some of the achievements. Good news there. And here's another from our dear friends at the city. If you're on city utilities, I mentioned this earlier, that is in another broadcast. They've announced this program by which you can avoid high electric usage fees. So this alternative payment program will help ease the financial burden of higher bills that may come about for some of us by allowing us, either as residential or non-demand small business utility customers, to defer up to 25% of their utility bill to October, when usage is likely to be less. So what you have to do, though, is you have to call them. This applies to city utility bills issued between May 27 and September 30th. And if you want to request this carryover option, basically you're just taking it off of the period of time when your bill is going to be higher because of high heat, particularly, and humidity. You can push that away a little bit. Up to 25% of the bill. So the phone number, 891-4968, 891-4968. Utility customers who choose to participate in WRAP, they're calling it, W-R-A-P, can expect the carryover to be clearly identified as a separate line item on your October bill. So that's good. Weather Relief Assistance Program. WRAP. Clever. Well, I've told you a little bit about our program, TallahasseePrepared.com. You should keep that in mind, because going forward, we know that you're going to be faced with not just the high heat and humidity, but thunderstorms. We're getting into that, or have gotten into the summer weather pattern, when in fact, thankfully enough, because of some intelligence being applied to the management of our local infrastructure, we don't see as much in the way of flash flooding, but there's always that possibility. Some of those roads will flood up pretty fast, and you definitely do not want to be driving through standing water, because even if it's an inch or two, it can sneak up on you. And by all means, do not be driving through at any kind of high rate of speed. Because then, of course, you get into the whole hydroplaning thing. Coming up in this portion of the show, I've got Michelle Gomez. And if you know that I'm a big fan of local heroes, well, Michelle's definitely one of them. In her career professionally, she has contributed sizably to the advancement of significant numbers of people in various groupings. Notably, her work with the Frenchtown community over the years, remarkable. I mean, just remarkable. We now have the Heritage Hub, the Frenchtown Marketplace, Kitchen Share. You gotta put Shelley's name there, right up again, along with some other folks, of course, Jim Bellamy among them, and a number of leaders within the Frenchtown community. But here we have Michelle, who did her part and did it faithfully and remarkably in successful ways, and now has been asked. She was actually recruited to come and work with the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. Oasis itself is a marvelous mission, and she's going to tell you more about that as we continue this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Michelle Gomez is a Tallahassee native who has led community-based social impact programs both in California and in Florida. She holds a Bachelor of Arts from the University of North Florida, her Master's in Fine Art from Mills College. That's MFA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a management certificate from the University of Vermont. Michelle's love of people fuels her passion for creating positive change, and she has been doing that in this fair city of ours for a number of years, instrumental in the development of Kitchen Share, who many of you now are familiar with. We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. It is, in and of itself, a food business incubator in Frenchtown, and has served the community since the fall of 2017. This is now all Michelle. Okay, we're still on Michelle here. She's now the executive director of the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. In that role, she guides advocacy and empowerment services aimed at activating the inherent strengths of women and girls toward their self-determined definitions of success. She believes that gender equity is central to the health of a community and is working to achieve that vision for Tallahassee-Leon County. Let's welcome our friend, our guest, Michelle Gomez. How are you, Shelley?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Again, Oasis is trying to further that mission, I think. Is that fair? For mm-hmm. women and girls, and by extension, then, really, for all of us.
A community is only as strong as its consideration of its most vulnerable members. And across the globe, women make up the most vulnerable group.
That and elder people. I found out from Mark Baldino. He was here last last week, and
many of whom are women.
Many of whom are women, and we were then talking about Elder Abuse World Awareness Day, mm-hmm. the 15th of June.
Right.
And your point here is, yeah, look to the weakest link in that chain. Look to the most vulnerable part of or person in that community.
Right. And weak in the sense of least supported, most oppressed.
Which can mean what? Unrecognized for what they bring to the table, or rejected for what they bring to the table, just not welcome.
Right.
Regardless, and, even based on gender or based on any classification. So kind of discriminatory.
I think a good example, so probably in several of your conversations, the percentage of our local population who live in poverty has come up.
Yeah.
It's pretty significant and rising. Third of the population.
Wow.
Most of those people are women, single women, heads of households, so women with children. A single father makes twice, this is local data, a single father makes twice what a single mother makes. So two people in the same situation raising children on their own. And because of other societal factors, historical and current, women have a tougher time. They have a tougher time. And then when you overlay violence in the home and in public places, discrimination in the workplace,
it doesn't get better.
It doesn't. No. You know, certainly not to paint a depressing picture, but there are absolutely factors in play that impact women's ability to participate as whole citizens of our community, and we are trying to mitigate that and maybe even erase the difference, and that's what I mean by gender equity.
So when you look at it from your perspective, you look at it through your lens, one of the people that you might see out there across the aisle from you would be somebody like Christina Paredes, who's working with the Office of Economic Vitality. So when she was here recently, she talked with us then about some of their initiative to reach into those populations, particularly women, low-income families, and provide them a repurposing, provide them educational opportunities so that their skill set now can better compete with those men who otherwise would have those jobs. Is that a fair description? And I guess when I hear you say a single dad makes twice what a single mom makes, is it because historically she doesn't get the opportunities to develop those skills? She's having kids and then finds herself either before or after on her own.
I think skill development is...
Get at the process.
Yeah, I think skill development's an important part of it. Certainly educational opportunities are important. I think accessible education. So we need to think about childcare when we're thinking about anything we want women to come to.
Well, that was my next part of this. The single dad, he's not providing childcare necessarily. At least he personally isn't having to do that.
But he might be able to better afford someone else
to do it.
I do want to say, so that is a situation. In our low income communities, we absolutely need more mentorship, more educational opportunity, accessible, and more economic advancement, more opportunity for economic advancement, and that might be skill development. But it's also in looking at what the barriers are to accessing those things and making sure that we are not just saying something or enacting a program that feels good and sounds good, but that actually is something that people want and can access. Now, that said, women make less for the same work. So we're not talking about missing skills, right? In Leon County, women make 84 cents to the dollar that a man makes for the same work. So there is, and then when you add in the layer of race, so that number decreases quite significantly for Black and Hispanic women. So, yes, programs are great. There is also
income inequality,
social bias to address.
Yeah, she's the executive director for the Oasis Center for Women and Girls here in Tallahassee. She's our guest this morning, Michelle Gomez. You stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 2007, Kelly Oddy noticed a gap, that there was no one organization focused on empowering and bringing together women and girls from all walks of life in Tallahassee. So she helped create then the Oasis Center for Women and Girls, and it was created with that vision of being a diverse environment where women and girls from all walks of life are connected and empowered. Oasis aims to be the central resource meeting women where they are to equip them with the tools that they need to reach their goals and celebrate with them as they progress on their journey. We have with us Michelle Gomez. She is the executive director of this organization. We're learning all about not only this mission, but sort of the lay of the land. You know, how is it that this organization is not only serving the population of women and girls that they directly serve, but what that says about us, I guess, as a community, how it spills over into the workplace, in domestic settings, in social settings. And so your point in our earlier segment was to say you kind of have to embrace some of the ugly truth here. And let's start with being honest.
Yes.
And then kind of work ourselves out. So tell us about Oasis directly then. What happens in terms of what you do?
Sure.
For these folks?
And quickly, how it started, I think that's important. Kelly has actually started a number of assets that our community enjoys, and she's really a treasure. So not just Oasis, but United Partners for Human Services, Tallahassee Commission on the Status of Women and Girls. So there are a lot of resources that she has initiated. But with Oasis, it's not just what she did, but how she did it. So she didn't just file a 501c3 and say, this is a thing we need.
Yeah.
She asked 100 people, do you think this is needed? And they said yes. And they put money in the pot to start Oasis. So we consider Oasis to have begun as a community mandate. And there are programs like our single mom support group that still aren't being done by anyone else. It's also important to note that Oasis is for every woman and every girl. Another program we have is Women Can Run. So not to jump the gun, but it's about representation, and so it's campaign training for women. But my point there is that studies show that women have to be asked to run, and that's not the same case for men. And not only asked, but asked on average 8 times.
Really?
So Oasis is a place where you can come and get what you need to feel like you can pursue the thing that you feel you are meant to do.
Right.
And in some cases, it's uncovering that. And in some cases, it's just activating that. So while many of the women who access our counseling services, for instance, which are offered on a sliding scale, and a program that has tripled now for the second year in a row, While most of the women accessing that service are paying the lower end of the income scale, it's for everyone. And so what that says to me is that we have a lack, we lack affordable mental health services in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And then we specialize in being a place that women can come. So they're all kind of this list of things you don't have to worry about when you come in the door.
It's interesting, too, for me. I'm 64, white, male, grew up in a middle-class home, Pacific Northwest, have lived in Tallahassee the last 40 years, raised our family here with my wife. When I think of heroic women, are we subject to those stories to see them as the exception? Whereas we don't do that with men. We look at men and say, oh, there's a guy who really achieved something, but then he's a guy.
Sure.
And so there's this unusual aspect applied to a woman's achievement that, wow, she was a woman, and yet she was able to do this, right? So when women come to meet with you, when they're part of these programs, do they echo that? Is that something that's understood or expressed? How what's it like to be, I guess, on your side of the world?
I think about when the Me Too movement really caught wind, and there were men, I think, in many of our lives, who would never have thought to victimize a woman in that way, and were really shocked that that was a common experience, and they would ask, is this real? And I mean, I can't think of an instance where the woman on the other side of that question would just be, yeah, it is really real. It's not every man who would do this thing, but it is every woman who has had this experience. And so I think that's why it's important to have gender-centered programming and to have a place where women can come and not have to explain that part, be able to lay that down.
Tell me about gender-centered programming. What does that mean?
It means only girls are there or only boys are there. And just to be specific and accurate, I would like to mention that it's any person who identifies as a woman can access OASIS services. But to your point about Amelia Earhart, we also consider ourselves the keeper of local women's history. Yeah. So we give awards every spring, Trailblazer Awards, and you have to be a local woman to receive them. And so the first woman to fly solo around the world lived in Gadsden County.
Gadsden County.
Right. So there are all of these local examples of women doing really amazing things. Yeah. You are right that a woman has to go above and beyond to be noticed.
Well, I mean, that isn't that kind of how we are? You know, when we have marginalized a portion of the population based on some category, and then we see achievement, we go, wow, that's really cool.
Right.
You know, the men who are my friends who are African American will say, yeah, I had to be the best. I had to go beyond.
And not just that, but have no mars, no bruises,
no blemishes,
on the record.
Right?
No, exactly. In order to be considered for the same
legitimate
type of accolade.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. It you know, and I think about that too when I talk with people, business people especially, who will say, Wait a minute, Leon County, third in the state for food scarcity? That's impossible. 04 zip code, 43-44% at or below poverty? That's impossible. Yeah, it may seem impossible because it's invisible to you and they're right there in front of you. Women are not given, I don't think, given to saying, yeah, I was abused. Who is? But I certainly don't think that if women have this shared experience, tragically, common experience of being, even at the very least, discounted, that they're quick to to talk about that. So I'm wondering if Oasis then gives them that sort of freedom, that platform where they can say, yeah, me too. Let me talk about what I've experienced.
Yes, and actually it's interesting how many women and girls will describe mistreatment, mm-hmm. but not term it that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we have a program called Girls Circle that we deliver in elementary through high school. Right. It's kind of a support group for girls, but it's a safe space to talk through the pressures that they face as girls, build connections with each other, because studies show that as girls reach puberty and beyond, it's more difficult to form bonds with the same gender peer.
Mm-hmm.
And effective communication in that way. We have a single mom support group where mom gets a night off. She gets childcare and food, and the family gets dinner, and then she gets group therapy and a chance to connect with women in similar situations and work through some of the things that she's coming up against. Because, I mean, you've had four kids, even with two parents. It's an isolating experience.
I have not yet recovered.
I know.
I'm in a post status
right.
there trying to get through it. We're talking about the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. We've got Shelley Gomez here. She's the executive director. Learning a lot. You stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were gonna do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back in this final segment of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Shelley Gomez is here. Carl is at the helm. Life is good. Because we're learning more about how life can get better for you and I when we invest ourselves in the lives of others. And in this community, here's Kelly Audie, who years ago decided, now let's see, 07, so that's some time ago, mm-hmm. 12 years ago, decided, you know, this would be a good thing, went out to community partners, we'll say, or people in the community who said, yeah, we need this. And here you go. Now, 12 years later, you come in as executive director. And what the heck have you done since you got on board? I mean, have you moved this have you moved the needle? Are you improving this organization? Because I want to know. And our listeners want to know.
I feel like I have. It's absolutely wonderful to come in to such an amazing foundation, to something that I was already passionate about, and be able to put new eyes on it. And kind of like a business background with a mm-hmm. social activist heart, mm-hmm. and take a look at the programs and see how to strengthen them, to increase the revenue without diminishing access. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of puzzles I really enjoy, and so that's what I've been doing here. You asked mm-hmm. me about gender-centered programming, and what it mm-hmm. means,
right.
And I just wanted to point out, especially because my experience at Mills College, so Mills College is in Oakland, and the undergrad is all women.
Oh.
The graduate program is co-ed, which is what I was in.
Right.
It's much smaller.
Right.
But the administration of that college has repeatedly come up to the brought forth to the student body to make the undergrad co-ed, and they are consistently met with resistance to do so.
Interesting.
And it's because of the freedom of speech inside a gender centered classroom or setting.
Yeah.
There are studies that show that there have to be at least 60 to 80% women in a room for the women to feel like they can speak their minds. So it is important. Mm-hmm. It's our board is all women, and that is important. Mm-hmm. That this organization is for women, led by women. Mm-hmm. Not to say that men aren't wonderful in our lives, mm-hmm. But it's women in the decision-making process.
Well, that's an interesting
and that specific thing is important
point there, because I often think that if I'm on the, we'll say, the other side, or at least not on your side of any given question, that your declaration of rights is somehow an affront to mine. And that's got to make it tough, because we're saying, okay, this is for women and girls, but then immediately you're subject to my concern that somehow I'm not welcome or appreciated or whatever. And if I have an organization that's for men only, does that somehow disqualify me for even being considered a friend?
Well, that's funny that that you put it that way, mm-hmm. because on that side, so a fraternity or a boys only club,
yeah,
right? They just in 2019 yeah. had to let girls into Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been considered until Me Too, I would say, uh-huh. until the Me Too movement. I would say that if there mm-hmm. were a male only organization, that was a problem, mm-hmm. or detrimentally exclusive. And yet, when there's a women-only mm-hmm. Center
yeah,
or
that
organization, that's, yeah, what are you
what
talking
are you doing
about
over
there? So hopefully...
Do you hate us?
Hopefully we get to the point where I don't feel the need to qualify that. Not that you gave me, you know, some inference that I needed to, but it is kind of automatic. And hopefully we get to a point in our society where it's not considered a zero-sum game. That me... pursuing
right.
what I need to be a whole person
right.
is not detrimental to you, and in fact, it's contributive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It seems to me, in this now 21st century Tallahassee, we're saying to women, not only do you have to work hard, you have to work all of those jobs well beyond kind of where we were earlier, what men are expected to do at the same time.
While maintaining a household.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that respect, what's your message to that 10-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl? Because this is not just for women. This is also a girl's resource.
It is. We do our best to connect girls and give them opportunities to see women doing things that they might want to do. Mm. You know, whether it is STEM mm-hmm. or they'll be in camp, they'll be, we have a Girls Can Do Anything summer camp. And it's what I really, the message that we really want to amplify is that you really can do anything. Mm-hmm. And it is that encouragement that ignites the effort that makes that possible.
Right.
And it's the encouragement that often girls don't get. So whereas like my 6-year-old, when she was 4, she told me she wanted to be an astronaut dentist.
Because of course they need dental care.
I had never
in
considered
outer space.
That.
Isn't
you
that
know?
The way it works?
Uh-huh. Their teeth are going to fall out on the way to Mars if we don't think about this thing. So I had never considered that.
Makes a lot of sense.
And then Kelly Oddy, who's now the executive director of PACE, mentioned on a panel the other day that. So PACE is a school for girls.
Yeah.
That what the girls are saying at high school then is that they want to find a man to take care of them. You know, they need a man with a good car or something.
Yeah.
They want to do hair. They want to do nails. But it's what they have been exposed to, and I'm not intending to speak for them. But often our children, and certainly our girls specifically, because that's who I am, working for.
Sure. Focused on, right.
They believe what we allow them to be exposed to.
They inherit that from us.
They do. And so the more we limit their exposure to what's possible, that the more their imagination molds to that space.
Well, and I think in the long run then, that certainly is contributive to this disparity between the single dad and the single mom, which is where we began this conversation.
If you get exposed to the greatest mathematician on the planet and it's a woman, and you, you know, and whatever your dream is supported. So it's not to knock whatever that choice is, but somewhere along the way, our girls are starting off wanting to be astronaut dentists, right? And that vision gets very narrowed by the time they're in high school. And the pressures are, and those messages, you know, are coming from a multitude of places. So we try to counteract that. We try to mitigate that.
Yeah, support it. Well, I can tell you what my dream is. My dream is to have you come back at another time.
Sure thing.
When you have opportunity to bring us up to date on this project known as the Oasis Center. A remarkable work. Many thanks to Kelly and to you and all those who contribute to our welfare as a community through this organization. And no doubt a lot of unclaimed hours on your timesheet. It goes without saying when you're doing this kind of work, it's not a 9-to-5-er, is it?
It's not, but I'm not alone either. So.
Yeah, and there's that love factor that sustains us. Folks, this is why we do what we do. Kelly Audie and her founding of this organization. Shelley Gomez, our guest this morning, talking about the Oasis Center. Great conversation. Thanks for being here.
Thanks again, Brian.
Folks, I'm going to wrap it up. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat right here in Tallahassee. MooseMagnificat.com is where you'll find this here fine radio station that brings you local musicians playing their original songs. That is the sound of Tallahassee on Moose Magnificat. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.